great future. We're talking real money.
It seems like only yesterday. The best interest rate you could get on pretty much anything was a fraction of 1%. You bemoaned the lack of returns on your safe investments. And a lot of people still kept a lot of money in fixed income investments. Now you can get 5% on your safe money. But can you get 5% over a long period of time? Can you sustain a return of 5% per year over a period of many years? That, my friends, is the big question.
And the answer is, with some money market funds and high-yield savings accounts still sporting 5%, it might be easy to be complacent and let the cash sit. But, this from the Wall Street Journal, with the Federal Reserve likely to begin cutting interest rates later this year, likely, recent hot inflation readings notwithstanding, such high yields are likely to come down quickly. And according to this article, to get ahead of Fed rate cuts whenever they may come, investment managers are looking to lock in leads too.
The ones who are, you know, they're prospecting, they're looking to lock in those leads.
Lock in yields for anywhere from 1 to 5 years to preserve today's higher income. So how do you do that? How do you lock in 5%? I think you called it safe money or something.
Safe return, 5% on your money for the rest of time. And you know, a lot of people tell us, I would be totally happy to just get 5% forever on my money and not have to worry about what the market does.
Yeah, well, there's not very many ideas, and I don't really love any of these ideas, but here they are, according to the Wall Street Journal. Number one.
This is the Wall Street Journal. We'll take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Okay. Their number one suggestion, multi-year guaranteed annuities or fixed rate annuities. For example, immediateannuities.com listed a 10,000 five-year where you're getting 5.4 and 4.6% top rate for a five-year bank CD listed at bankrate.com. So you could buy that immediate annuity and you get the 5.4% for the next 5 years. Now, in one planner, they quoted, said, this is the best I've seen in 25 years, which may be about right, by the way. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look because immediate annuities have come up a lot with the interest rates being higher. But remember, the money is no longer yours, right? Mm-hmm. It's somebody else's. If you need it for an emergency, guess what?
No. We're talking about an immediate or a fixed?
Wait immediate.
A minute. Oh, it's an immediate. Okay.
Multi-year guaranteed.
I think those are fixed.
It is fixed rate annuity, 5.4.
No, but that's not an immediate. You're
well, it says it here in the article that immediateannuities.com quoted it.
But immediateannuities.com, there are multiple kinds of annuities. There's the immediate where you give them your money and
then
you
take payments. Let's make it more confusing. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the insurance companies are known for making it confusing.
Okay, so when can you start drawing the money out in this particular
You can take instance? The money out anytime you want, but you will pay taxes on the return.
And you'll pay, it says, early surrender charge can get up from 5 to 8% of the value.
Yes, that's because the person who sold you the annuity
got
a big fat commission. So it's the surrender charge. They tell you the surrender charge is so that you don't mess with it. But the reality is it's so that they get paid back the commission.
But in this particular circumstance, the Liberty Bankers Life at 5.4, when can you start drawing that money out?
You technically can start drawing it anytime you want, but there's going to be penalties on doing so. So yeah, here's the thing. The fixed annuity pays slightly more.
Yep.
What's the term on this one?
5 years.
5 years. So it's paying about, and what was the rate?
5.4.
Okay. So you could get a five-year CD that pays about 4.4
right now. Yep.
So you're getting a percentage point more. Now, what's the difference between a CD and an annuity? Who's backing it?
Yeah, guaranteed. One's guaranteed by the bank. One's guaranteed by an insurance
company. No, one's guaranteed by the government.
The government. Okay. A bank that is, you know,
the other is guaranteed by a private company.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
So yes, you might get a higher yield. You're also going to make somebody a big fat commission. And you have to be very, very careful about these things because the fine print can hide all kinds of evils.
I'm not recommending this.
I know. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I just want to be very clear on what they are.
People hear us talking about this stuff, and then I get an email like, okay, which one did you say to go buy?
Don't buy any annuities.
No products.
If you hear annuity, just don't go.
Number two, how about a defined maturity exchange traded fund?
Okay. Can you give me the name?
Yeah,
you're
going to love the ticker. B as in boy, S as in Sam, C as in cat, O as in Oscar. BSCO.
These are the bullet shares from Invesco.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yep. So what they're doing is they're going out and buying corporate bonds.
Yes, they are.
With a maturity rate of whatever it might, or a maturity of whatever the maturity is of that portfolio.
That's right.
And a couple of things. One, yes, you can get out. If you hold it to maturity, you get everything back. But along the way, you can have volatility. This one that you mentioned, BSCO, lost 4% in 2022.
Okay. So you could take a loss along the way.
Yeah.
Okay. If you hold the maturity, then you get your money.
So there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Here's one. I have no idea why they included this, but maybe you will know. Preferred stocks.
Wow.
That's just a wacky choice.
They included them because preferred stocks have and I have to put this in gigantic air quotes, guaranteed, not really guaranteed, dividend.
Yes.
Okay. The only thing that guarantees it is if they suspend the dividend, they can't pay a dividend to common shareholders until they make the preferred shareholders whole again. But that doesn't mean a darn thing for a company in trouble. If the company gets in trouble, the risks are much higher on preferred stock than on bonds, much higher.
Yeah, and they recommend the iShares Preferred and Income Securities ETF, P as in Paul, F as in Frank, F as in Frank, PFF, which they say has a yield of 6.5%.
That's its SEC yield.
Yeah.
But again, you're getting, you can get 5% on treasuries. So if you're getting 6.51, what would your guess be about the level of risk involved?
Higher.
Right. And it's reflected in the portfolio. 95% of their portfolio is in preferred stocks in companies rated triple B or lower.
Triple B or lower, really?
Or lower.
Wow, that's kind of scary.
There is only in A to triple A rated paper, there is little over 5% of the portfolio.
So you're investing in risky companies that are paying a higher interest rate. That sounds familiar. Yeah, okay. Number four, exchange traded debt, baby bonds.
These are derivatives.
They have callable yields of 8 to 9%. This advisor likes them over preferred shares because of the higher yields and lower volatility versus preferred stocks.
These are lower volatility. It's because they don't trade very often. And these things are incredibly dangerous. And they are down the list in the hierarchy. They're often lower rated. They often are lower down the list in priorities. They're often they're not highly secured debt. Again, this is such a simple equation. The higher the number, the greater the risk.
Eight to nine is still a pretty high number for.
Ridiculously high. And funny thing is, I'm looking at a bunch of baby bonds, and I don't see any that are yielding that much. I see one from Gladstone Capital that's yielding about 8. But other than that, good companies, high-quality companies, not even high-quality companies. I mean, AT&T's baby bonds are yielding about 5.
That's it?
Yeah. So... Yeah.
And didn't you say something about treasuries paying about the same?
5.
And CDs paying about 5 and high yield savings account paying
I mean, Brookfield Properties, which are, you know, Brookfield is a big real estate company. They're paying 4.5 to 5.
And here, when I read these things, here's what I think. It's people have a tendency to chase returns. They've seen this a little bit higher now, and I want to keep that because, as you said, Don, if I could just get an easy 5 and don't have to worry about the market, I'm going to be so much happier. The reality is any money like this, I think you, what'd you call it? Emergency money or safe money?
Safe money.
Yeah. Part of your portfolio should be in that, right? Because you may need to replace the refrigerator. I get that. But that's all that you're going to put that in something like a CD or high yield savings account.
Well, but it doesn't matter what it's paying. It's also that portion of the portfolio in many cases that is the stability portion for your mental health. It's,
okay, fair
enough. The mental health portion, not just the emergency money, but it's the fixed income. It can be in the form of bonds or it can be in the form of CDs.
Well, I was getting to that because I think what people, instead of deciding what the portfolio is going to be first, I'm going to have this much in stocks, this much in bonds, and this much in an emergency cash, whatever you want to call it. That's the first decision. Instead of waking up and saying, wow, I'm getting 5% in that, and I think you can get that in the Schwab money market right now, 5.2. I'll just load it all into that and get the 5.2. The article correctly points out that nobody knows how long that will last. That's what I worry about, sort of this timing aspect. I'm chasing it to there. Cash, CDs, money market, that's a short-term investment. Short-term.
Right. Could, let's say you buy that one-year CD or you get in a money market fund yielding 5 and interest rates, I'm not saying they will, I'm not making a prediction.
Likely, the article says.
Let's say they plunge down to 1 or 2%. Could happen, couldn't it? Could.
Yeah.
Could.
Yeah.
Where do you stand then? You'll be earning 1 or 2%. That 5% is not going to carry on into the future on short-term paper. It's not going to do it. And that's why when you want to go out to longer-term paper, if you look right now at a 5-year CD, you're going to see rates in the 4s.
4.5, 4.6. Yep, yep. Still have the inversion, right?
Yep. The yield curve is inverted.
It's a very strange situation. So,
well, it's because of expectations.
Right.
You see... biggest lesson you can ever learn, listen to this again. I know most of you refuse to hear it, but listen carefully. The financial markets are markets of expectation. They are not reacting to news. They are moving in anticipation of future news that everybody at the time agrees is likely to happen. So unless the news is dramatically different than the expectation, that future news is built into the price, which is why you see longer-term bonds yielding less. The expectation is that rates will go down in the future.
It is baked into the cake. You should be ignoring
baked into the cake.
Thank you. You should be ignoring the interest rate roller coaster. That's what I'm trying to get to. You should have a portfolio that's designed for your needs, right? Stocks, bonds, and yes, some cash instruments for shorter-term things. And just don't pay attention to the rest of it. Because silly articles like this are going to keep coming at you. People on TV are going to tell you, here's what you got to do now. And we know that advice is poor. Mm-hmm. So the people that do that, the people that chase these things, just frankly end up with less money and more heartache in many ways. Because again, if you put it in something and you think I'm going to get that forever, you won't.
I think he just said it. I think we just said it. This is not a game you can succeed at playing. You may think you're smarter than the market, but you're not. You're not. We're not. You're not.
Nope.
Nobody is. Question time.
Man enough to admit it. This comes from Terry in Livermore, California. Through a broker half a dozen years ago, before you guys, Terry says, I purchased. It's always that, right? I didn't do this after listening to you. I didn't.
Yeah, no. I get it. I get it. I did stupid stuff before I listened to me, too. Oh,
yeah,
wait.
Exactly.
I was listening to
I
me.
Know. Okay. Sorry. We got smarter. I purchased $25,000 worth of a non-publicly traded REIT, the Sila Realty Trust. Pardon me. It must be the Sila Realty Trust. Can't be the Reality Trust. Anyway, it's a better story if it's the Reality Trust, Terry, but rollover IRA funds. Ugh. writes Terry. Hopefully my questions added to your REIT discussion will be helpful to others. Number one, she says, can I hold these REIT shares just in my name to get them out of the hands of the AUM broker? She says she's paying 1% as an asset manager for somebody where the money's custodian. Can't she just move it to a different custodian? I think she can, even though it's non-publicly traded.
Right. She can move it to another custodian.
Now, it might not be Schwab. But
Sila is going to have to make that happen.
It'll have to be an approved. Yeah.
It's going to have to be a private transfer.
Not everybody's going to hold that security. That's the issue.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at some lawsuits against Sila.
Which one, the Reality or the Realty Trust?
Both. Yeah. It depends on where you put
whose reality we're talking about here.
It depends on whether there's a typo or not a typo, or Tom just happens to see an eye where none
might
exists.
Might be true as well. Yeah.
In the very weak secondary market.
Yeah. What are you making?
The shares have plunged by, more than half. Depends on who's, and this is the problem with non-publicly traded, is that depends on who's doing the appraising. They were offered at $10 a share, and some recent trades have been at $5 per share on an unregulated sort of private secondary market. Now, it looks like there may be some lawsuits pending.
That doesn't sound good, by the way.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. It really doesn't. We've heard of some of these that have turned out to be pure Ponzi schemes after they got investigated.
She writes, every 6 months or so, I receive an offer from either Comrit or CMG. They troll to purchase shares at a deeply discounted rate. Have you ever heard of these outfits?
Yeah, no. Comrit is trying to buy these things up cheap. Of course they are, because they know that they're not worth what they claimed or what they were originally worth, but they're probably betting that they're worth a little more than the secondary market is pricing them. So it's a lot of machinations going on here.
But let's go back to the start.
If you ever get an opportunity, a liquidation event, it's not called a liquidation event. It's called
I don't know what that's called when you have
a redemption event. If they'll ever let you redeem your shares back to them, do it. Just do it.
But in this case, she should find out from Sila where she could custodian. There's no reason to pay somebody 1% a year on top of the fact that you paid a big commission to buy this product. I would be finding a different custodian and hold it there.
By the way, and you know it, she knows it. I just want to let you all know it. We hate non-publicly traded securities.
Disaster.
If they're not, and the argument they'll make is non-publicly traded securities are safer because they're less volatile. No.
That's because they're not traded.
They're only less volatile because you don't know what they're worth.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you think your house is a less volatile investment than your stocks, but that's only because your house is not being priced, although now with Zillow, but it's not being priced every second or every minute of every day.
I think people make a lot worse decisions with real estate if it were. All right. So yes, find another custodian. And as Don said, pay attention to possible redemption. By the way, if you get redemption for us, we'd appreciate it as well. James from Cullman, Alabama writes, I'm considering taking my small Federal Express pension in April or May, or I may wait until later this year. I'm wondering what happens to pension payouts if the Fed raises or lowers interest rates. Will this affect my payout even so slightly? I only worked there 10 years. The answer is yes, because every year they analyze this based on current interest rates. Happens at Boeing.
They have most of these things have some sort of an adjustment.
That's
for
correct.
Inflation.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was easy.
So, I mean, So if I were sitting here in March and I didn't need the money, I probably would wait. I think you usually find out about this in October or November. That what they'll pay for the early part of the following year, I'd probably be following along and paying attention and try to make a decision based on that. Yeah.
Really? Isn't that trying to predict the future?
No, you're not. But you wait. Oh, I see. You're right. Because if they go, you're making a bet about the future being better than it is today. That's fair. That's what I said about needing the money. To me, it would just be about
it's about when you need the money. Right. You take the money when you need the money. You don't need the money, don't take the money.
Yeah. Because otherwise,
that's much more simple. Because then that adds a level of discipline. If you don't need the money, don't take the money.
Yeah.
Don't play games.
Good. Very good.
Okay.
All right.
Want questions answered? We like doing that. All you have to do is go to talkingrealmoney.com and click on the contact form. That's it. Click on the contact form. Send us your question. If you like typing, you can type it. If you prefer speaking, they're more fun in many ways.
And they're more fun to listen to because I like when you comment on people that call in. It's fun. Sounds good.
And it seems like every week now we're getting like two crypto crazies.
Somebody's got your number, I guess, huh?
Every week. And you're going to get, I don't know why they keep calling, because you're going to get the exact same answer.
Oh, you haven't
answer.
Changed your mind yet, even though it's a new record price?
And I'm pretty confident that there is nothing that will change my mind about crypto in its current form. Nothing. Not a thing.
But there's something. There's a challenge. I like that. It's been laid out. Change his mind. Yep. Hit it.
Going down the gauntlet. Go for it. Good luck to you.
Thank you for listening, by the way. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah, and please tell a friend or 1,000. If you have 1,000 friends, I don't. But if you do, tell them. Keep listening. We're here almost every day doing this really important work, talking real money.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast were current on the date recorded. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions constitute our judgment and are subject to change without notice, including any forward-looking estimates or statements which are based on certain expectations and assumptions.
Although information and opinions given have been obtained from or based on sources believed to be reliable, no warranty or representation is made as to their correctness, completeness, or accuracy.
Information presented on the podcast is not personalized investment advice from Appella Wealth. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for everyone.
This podcast does not identify all the risks, direct or indirect, or other considerations which might be material to you when entering any financial transaction.
Past performance does not guarantee future results, and profitable results cannot be guaranteed. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. The podcast is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Wealth, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Please see Appella Wealth's ADV Part 2A on our website for information regarding Appella's fees and services.
Appella Capital, LLC, DBA Appella Wealth, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The firm only transacts business in the states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration with the SEC or any state securities authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Appella does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing either stated or implied here should be inferred as providing such advice. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and important disclosure related to performance of any specific index or fund quoted in this podcast. Oh, I think I need a nap.